You're tuned into Desperate, a podcast where two unwed women take a walk down Wisteria Lane to visit ABC's critically acclaimed show, Desperate Housewives. Retire your apron, kick off your heels, and sit back. Hit it, girls.
Hey, guys. Welcome back.
Welcome.
This is Desperate, a Desperate Housewives recap podcast. There's lots of desperation that you'll hear today with us.
Yep.
We are going to take you through season one, episode 18 today, called Children Will Listen. Mm-hmm. And yeah, we are pretty far into this season now, over three quarters of the way. I'm watching it for the first time, so there's been lots of twists and turns. I'm on the edge of my seat. I think this is some of the best television I've watched ever, maybe.
It's pretty awesome. There's something for everybody.
It's, like, quirky.
Yeah.
It's not, like, an Ozarks where you're, like, that's the... Or Dexter, where you're, like, I don't know.
It's got a fun, like, Tim Burton-y vibe almost to it. Like,
yeah, there's something, like, light and quirky about it.
Dark humor.
Yeah.
I don't know.
There's a bit of mystery. There's comedy. There's drama. So, I've been enjoying it so far.
A little bit of everything.
Yeah. But we are two unwed women who are taking a look at this archaic journal of domesticity.
Yep.
This is very different from our lives, so we're happy that you're here joining us. You can watch along with us on Amazon or Hulu. It's not a requirement. You can definitely just listen to us take you through each episode. We typically break down where we've been in the past with we're going to give you a recap of what happened episode 17 before we dive in. Then yeah. We do a desperate deed where we talk about our own desperate deeds to get you warmed up for the full recap of this episode. We do our full recap, and then at the end we kind of give it a score with a game of fuck, marry, kill, an apple rating, and then a housewife or a hubby of the week. We might do both now. We don't know.
I know. It's kind of fun doing that last
but
time.
But that's what we're going to do today. Did I miss anything?
No. I think you got it all.
That's pretty much it. Mm-hmm. But you can follow us. We have an Instagram, a Twitter, an email.
Catch us on every form of, like, social media and, yeah, like, listening service.
Follow us personally. Yeah. But we're pretty excited. We've been having a lot of fun so far. Mm-hmm. The pandemic's ending. Final. We started this pretty much in the middle of the pandemic in LA.
Yeah.
Everything was closed. So.
Yeah, like the second coming, we kind of started.
Yeah.
Because things started to reopen and then they closed again. Like everything closed again.
It's been a wild ride, but we're done with masks in like a couple days.
Yeah.
So.
It's already June. Oh my God, we started this at the beginning of March.
Yeah, this started dropping March.
We're 3 months in.
Yeah. And we've grown a lot, you guys. Like we said, we thought like one person was going to listen. And like we have a lot of listeners. We have like.
I almost cried when one of our listeners responded on Instagram and congratulated me on my new job.
Oh my God, yeah, I know.
But that was like the sweetest like ever. That was the coolest moment of my life. Like I told people, I'm like, it's cool to not only have people that listen, but to have people that listen that aren't our friends.
Yeah.
Like people that just found our podcast and listened to it.
Yeah.
And then like we know she's listening because she fucking caught that I got a new job. Like I love that. That's
an
so awesome.
Listener. Yeah.
Like that's seriously, shout out to our fan. She's awesome. But yeah, no, like that stuff really like is cool. So reach out if you haven't. Like yeah. It seriously makes our entire like week.
Yeah. And tell your friends, rate and review, like get the word out.
Yeah.
We like anybody you know that's a secret fan or a not secret fan. We're just here talking about Desperate Housewives. And I think
share us.
I think in these times it's nice to have something to like distract your mind like this. So
for sure.
Turn it on. But like I said, today season one, episode 18 called Children Will Listen. Episode 17 called There Won't Be Trumpets is what we watched last time, and it was all about heroes, like heroic acts,
mm-hmm,
and how they can go either really well or really terribly. Bree was one of my favorite storylines. Her son fucking just spits on her. That's not why it's my favorite, but it's my favorite because Rex defended her honor like in the hottest way possible.
Oh yeah, it was awesome.
It was crazy.
For sure.
He got my fuck and my Mary. That's how hot it was. But they send Andrew away to boot camp because he gets expelled 2 months before graduation for smoking pot, hotboxing a car in front of his school blatantly. But the storyline is like Bree and Rex kind of debating whether they should do it. And Bree makes a good point that Andrew is disrespectful to her all the time and not Rex. And Rex, he steps up eventually. He realizes everything that he's done. He's treated her like shit. And we kind of see his remorse and like his recognition of his actions. But they eventually send Andrew away.
Yeah. They send him to boot camp.
After he kicks his mother.
He kicks her and then spits on her when they take him away.
So it was a rough one for her. And then, and a not so favorite storyline of mine is something that made us address the girl code that we don't really know how it works, but we certainly know right from wrong. And it's Susan. Susan gets a letter from Mike that she never reads, but like complains about to all of her friends for probably like 2 weeks and then returns it. But the letter is one thing, but she ends up going on a date with Edie's contractor that's building her house for her. For, like, no apparent reason. Like, she doesn't like this guy. She's not over Mike, but she just decides that she's going to go on a date with him.
Yeah.
And she asks Edie's permission because Edie had gone on several dates with him. And Edie says no. And Susan, like, whines about it and then goes on a date with him anyway.
Mm-hmm.
And then Edie catches them and fires him and, like, fronts with Susan. And Susan plays the victim. And then Susan's tire blows out because that's the whole thing that started this date thing. Yeah. And, like, she just wants somebody to save her. There's no heroic act, really. Yeah. But that's what was up with Susan this past week.
And then Lynette, she befriends a deaf woman. Their kids all go to school together, and they have dinner, like her and Tom, and her name's Alyssa, and her husband, Dennis. And when she's not able to read his lips, the husband, like, shit-talks her because she can't hear it. And it's super weird and uncomfortable. But Lynette kind of makes the situation worse by when they're all at tennis, like, basically telling him, like, you need to just, like, fix it. Because, like, this is not okay. You're disrespectful, blah, blah, blah. He ends up leaving Alyssa. And Alyssa, like, blames Lynette. And I think rightfully so. Like, I think Lynette, like, overstepped her boundary, like, the boundaries.
Yeah.
I don't think, obviously, he left just because of Lynette. But, like, it didn't help the she didn't help the situation.
She didn't help anything. She was trying to, like, she was trying to do something heroic. It just backfired.
Well, and Alyssa makes the point of, like, why? Because I'm deaf. Like, you felt like you needed to step in. Like, because I feel like Lynette has seen, like, other husbands be shitty and not said shit about it.
It's literally because the chick was deaf. Yeah. Which brings up another thing we didn't really discuss much. But, like, yeah, because she has a disability, like, Lynette treats her differently.
Yeah.
But that goes back to what I said. I'm like, she invited her to dinner and is making a new friend. But I feel like it's only because this chick has a disability.
Yeah. It was just weird. And then, last but not least, Mama Solis makes a great big return and immediately is killed off.
She dies within 2 minutes of the opening.
So she wakes up and, trying to find someone or a phone, falls down a flight of stairs and dies. So Gabby's officially in the clear now with John. Meanwhile, Carlos has the option to either go to trial and probably win, but he would lose, like, all their money because they'd have to pay the lawyers,
mm-hmm.
or take a plea deal that would involve 8 months in jail, but they get to, like, keep their house and stuff because, like, the legal bills wouldn't be as high.
Yeah.
Gabby tells him, like, he should take the plea deal, one, because he's guilty, like, he is guilty, and two, like, she's like, I don't think I should have to lose my house because you committed all these crimes. Meanwhile, he plans this crazy elaborate funeral for his mom, and it's literally ridiculous. Probably a six-figure funeral.
With an above-ground mausoleum.
For her. Fucking psycho shit. And Gabby, like, points out, like, you don't respect me as much as you respect her. Like, I'm alive. I need a roof over my head. So Carlos agrees to go take the plea deal. Now, while that happens, the hospital talks to Gabby, and they tell her that basically, they want to pay her off to never question what exactly went down with her mother-in-law at the hospital. It's like $1.6 million. She talks to the lawyer, and she finds out if she accepts the money before Carlos is in jail, the government can take it. But the moment, like, the case is closed and he takes the plea deal, like, she could keep it. And I don't really think she's being shady about it, but she doesn't tell Carlos because Carlos is fucking stupid.
She just hasn't told him yet, we think. That's our
we think. And then nothing happened with Paul or Zach. So that was last episode.
And I've been missing George, actually.
I know. Where's George at?
He was he brought the incel energy.
He did.
He supported Bree a little bit. But like, I'm interested for him to come back eventually. Hopefully.
For sure.
I miss George. I don't really miss Paul and Zach, but excited to see if something happens with them.
Yep.
So our death count is at 3. It's at 3 now. Mary Alice Young, Mrs. Huber, and then now Mama Celeste. So.
Correct.
We're excited to see where we go. As for our desperate deeds, do you have one?
Yeah.
I'll let you start it off.
It's not mine. It's an anonymous friend.
Oh, okay.
So this friend of mine, he and his boyfriend had just broken up. And, like, just broken up. Like,
Hours, like the day before, maybe, if that.
Yeah. I don't know. So I invited him. I'm like, come to my apartment. Like, let's get drunk. Like, let's hang out.
Yes. Good friend.
So we're vibing and we're a little tipsy and it's all good. And he's on like Grindr, like flirting with dudes.
I love a good Grindr. I love when my gay friend whip out the Grindr.
Well, then he gets fucking busted by his ex, who
is also on Grindr.
No. So what my friend had done, and this is the desperate deed, he was flirting with someone on Grindr and wanted to send like nudes, but didn't want to like take them because we were hanging out. So he went to his Snapchat conversations with his ex and screenshot the nudes he had sent his ex. And then sent them to this guy. Well, obviously on Snapchat, it tells you if you screenshot stuff. So his ex, like, freaks the fuck out.
But you could have just been like, I think I thought I looked good. I wanted to save them.
Nobody was thinking smart that night. I don't know what happened.
Like, we took too many shots.
I don't know what the fuck. We drank way too much wine. Basically, I think my friend, like, tried to say that. Like, oh, I just wanted to be able to keep them. And he was like, no, like, it's weird to me that you would screenshot it this late at night. Like, why are you doing that? And basically, he got busted for, like, already being on Grindr. And then it came out that they had broken up, but they were still, like, trying to work through things. So I was like, oh, my God. So that's...
So you weren't in the loop. Like, he told you they were broken up and they weren't really broken up.
I think deep down... Not deep down. I think the real version of what happened was they did break up. They were going to be open to, like, fixing things. But at the end of the day, they were broken up. So I think my friend had every right to do whatever he wanted. I think
a half breakup is a breakup.
I think it's a breakup. But I think it was insensitive. And I think that he probably should have... I'm like, why don't you just go take new nudes in the bathroom? Like, what's wrong with you?
Like a normal person. Like, you can definitely use my bathroom for nudes.
Yeah, like, you could go in there. You can use my
living room for nudes.
I told him, like, I don't give a fuck that you're on Grindr already. What I give a fuck about is that you just embarrassed yourself. Like, that's so embarrassing.
It's really embarrassing to be called out.
I'm like, yeah, also, like... Why didn't you just save your nudes in the first place, you fool? Like,
you should have nudes locked and loaded, I think.
That shit was insane.
Not that I sent nudes, but like, I've never sent a nude in my life. You know? Like, but
I've never like double sent a nude. Like I've never sent the nude I send to one guy to another.
This dude sent me a nude one time. Maybe this is desperate of him. I don't know. This wasn't planned to be my, this wasn't a planned desperate deed, but like, I've been seeing this guy for a while. Like he didn't want to make it. We weren't official, I guess, but we were doing all the boyfriend girlfriend things. And, like, yeah, he sent me casual nudes. Or, like, not even nudes, just, like, casual pics of himself sometimes. But, like, one day he sent me a video of himself in the shower. And he said, miss you, Miss Dumas, which is my last name. And he, like, wrote that in caption text on the video. And I was like, is he doing that? Like, okay.
Just so you know that you were the recipient.
That I was the recipient. And I was like, ooh, but what if he sent that to the wrong chick? Like, what if he sent that to somebody else too? Like, and it was the wrong name. How embarrassing would that be?
That would be the worst thing that could ever happen.
But I don't know if he ever did. That was nothing that came up. But I just thought of that. I think it's a little bit weird to be sending that. I think it's a little bit weird to put someone's name in your nude. But...
I think it is, too. I think it's almost like an aggressively desperate attempt to make them feel special.
Make me feel special.
Like, just send the nude. Shut the fuck up.
You in your shower. A video of you in your shower, as great as it is, doesn't make me feel that special. Like, Miss you. Wish you were here. I'm clean. Don't worry about me.
Yeah.
Mid work day.
Or yeah. Like, okay.
Yeah, he wasn't working a lot. So, but no, my desperate tea has nothing to do with nudes. I'm like, can I think of one with nudes? I don't think I should reveal.
Not yet.
Yeah. Oh, I do have a pretty embarrassing one about sending the wrong thing to somebody. Once when I was 15 or 16, I don't know, I was a little pothead. And, like, I would take the bus around my hometown. I don't know. That's just, like, what we did. And, like, I remember being at the bus station. I had just got done smoking a lot with people. And I was, like, taking the bus home. But I'd been texting this guy named Lucas. And I thought that he was super hot and, like, cool. And I wanted to hang out. And we were trying to, like, arrange hanging out or something of the sort. And basically, I was really high, and in my mind, I was like, Lucas is so cute, and I think I sent him that exact text, because I didn't know who I was texting. I meant to text my friend, Lucas is so cute, and I sent it to Lucas instead, and I was like,
I'd throw myself in front of the bus. I would get off the bus, lay down in front of it, and be like, that's that on that.
I think I literally texted him after and was like, obviously meant to send that to somebody else. And we never ended up talking again after that. So, yeah.
That's
my
brutal.
My desperate deed is that.
It's a huge fear of mine is, like, yeah, taking a screenshot and sending it to, like, the person instead of who you're trying to, like, talk shit about them to.
I feel like I worry about that too. Yeah, I've definitely been sending screenshots.
It's a dangerous game. That's why I don't like doing that. That's why I'd rather sit there and be like, so basically they said this, because I'm like,
you paraphrase. Yeah, ooh. I get risky with my screenshots, but yeah, I desperately just try. I tried to address it right away, but I don't know. Yeah, but basically I never lived it down. I forgot about, I haven't. Okay. It's actually one thing that I haven't forgotten about completely. I think about that once.
I feel like this haunts me.
I think about it, like, a couple times a year about how that happened. And, like, that guy. No,
you're, like, laying in bed at night and it just fucking hits you.
It's one of those things, yeah.
You're like, shit, like, remember that thing I did 10 years ago?
When
oh
I was really
God.
High and I texted this guy that I thought he was really cute yeah. on accident. And it was just, I mean, it was horrible. So, yeah, I tried. Okay, those are our desperate deeds. We had a bit of a technical issue for a second.
But we're back.
But in between the technical issue, Jordan saw my text messages as I opened my computer.
I snooped.
And this guy.
Unintentionally snooped.
This guy I've been talking to sent me this Drake song called Feel No Way.
Feel No Ways, yeah.
It triggered Jordan. She triggered me. She says only fuckboys send that song.
I've had two dudes in my life send me that song, and they both kind of had the same game.
Did I know both of them?
No.
Oh, they were young. Yeah. It's an older one. It's off the Views album. It's off the Views.
But, yeah, I saw that he sent her that, and I was triggered.
You were like, she stopped. Did he send that to you? I was like, yeah, we were talking about it last night. You're like,
I'm sorry. I feel like every girl out there has had a guy send them that, and it does not lead to good things.
I've been warned.
I just feel like anybody that, like, emotionally connects with Drake, there's an immature level there. Like, we can have a good time to Drake songs, but if you're, like, in your feels, if you relate.
And in that song, this is for another desperate. I was going to bring up this song in another desperate deed and say that Drake is the most desperate artist out there.
He's desperate, somehow desperate and a fuckboy.
That song, he's like, you didn't wait for me. And the line is like, I was only gone 3 months.
3 months?
And I every time I sing it, I want to be like, I was only gone 3 weeks. And then he's like, months? And I'm like, wait a minute, but you're mad that she didn't wait? Like,
3 months?
3 months.
No, this is entitled fuckboys that think that women should just be waiting around for them to mature up or get better. I hate that mentality, too. It's like, she stuck by me through all my bullshit. It's like, well, maybe don't put people through bullshit. Like, why do women have to? It's like, we have to earn the men to not be fuckboys. We have to earn that. I don't know.
This
Sorry.
Is in my 401 lesson this of, is frustrating. Not, of not treating guys who are not your boyfriend like your boyfriend. That's in the 401 course we're currently studying.
Yeah.
So either way, we're back. Those are our desperate deeds. We're going to go watch the episode and then come right back at you with everything that's going on in the neighborhood. Hopefully no fuckboys. Drake had not released Views at this point in time.
Look, Drake was just probably around this time auditioning for Degrassi.
Oh, auditioning for Degrassi.
I don't know.
I thought finishing, maybe.
Maybe. I don't know the timeline of Degrassi, so... Either way, he was not rapping quite yet, yeah. Or whatever he... I don't know if you could call it rapping, whatever the heck he does.
Whatever it is. But you know what to do before we dive in, so...
Buckle up.
Buckle up.
Season 1, Episode 18, The Children Will Listen. Gabby faces Carlos's wrath after he finds out about a check from the hospital. Bree spanks Lynette's little brats, causing a rift she never saw coming. Lynette is set on not falling into her own parents' patterns. Susan's mother, Sophie, comes for a visit. The apple doesn't fall far from the tree. Zach and Felicia grow close as he learns about who he really is.
Downtown, whipping on my waity. So, we got sent a couple memes this week, actually. A meme of Gabby, to be specific. That is the beginning of this episode. So, shout out to our fan who sent us this meme.
I love a good meme.
It says, there were many things that Gabby knew for certain. Red was her color. Yep. Diamonds went with everything. And men were all the same. They will send you that Drake song.
The fact that they have both lived through receiving that Drake song is proof.
They will send you Feel No Way, a key point in your relationship.
Oh, my God.
No, but she said, one thing Gabby knew above all else, she would never want children. And unfortunately for Gabby, her husband felt differently. And he's like, I fucking a neighbor. So we got a meme that was, like, the beginning of this episode, like, cut into three, where it says Gabby knew this, that. So thanks for sending that. But that's where we start. I just want to shout out our fans for that. This episode is all about children and turning into our parents and how to parent your children. And
yeah,
it brought up a lot of things for us.
Mm-hmm.
So we're pretty stoked to talk about it today. Next thing you know, Gabby and Carlos are in bed, and she's like, I'm so happy to have you, Carlos. And he's like, why? Tell me.
She's like, I'm so lucky.
Yeah.
He's like, I'll buy it.
Lucky. I don't want to have kids, and you do. And so, like, thank you for staying with me. Most men would be over that and leave, and you're here. She's like, I'm grateful. I know this is a sacrifice. And he says, a little part of me thinks that you'll change your mind. If you have one, you'll love it. And she's like, no, what? Like, where's this going? And he ends up being like, it's a sacrifice, but you're worth it.
He's like, you never know. And she's like, no, there are some things you do know. Well, what she doesn't know is this bitch has been tampering with her fucking birth control.
Yeah, let's remember that. He's been tampering with that birth control for a hot minute.
Yes.
Yeah, Mary Alice Young calls us out. Gabby knew without a doubt that she didn't want to be a mother. But what she didn't know is that how bad Carlos wanted to be a father, or that he'd been tampering with the birth control, and that in a week she would be pregnant. So we've never been set up like this before, I don't think, where Mary Alice Young is like, this will happen in a week.
Which is crazy.
So that's something to note. I was like, dang, we're getting some future references here. Yeah. Like, Mary Alice Young She's is being prophetic. In the future. Yeah. So... then we have our little intro, and we come back to Wisteria Lane. And Mary Alice Young says, Saturdays on Wisteria Lane belong to the children. Most of them would practice sports or ride bikes. And, like, others were no longer engaged in child's play. Others were forced to grow up very quickly. We see Zach, like, breaking the lawn, looking miserable. And Paul is being questioned by the police. And they're asking him about the toy chest that he purchased 12 years ago. And Paul is like, never seen any chests around here. Don't know about that.
And like, this is the first time we're hearing about the chest in like 10 episodes.
Yeah, we forgot about the chest.
It's been a hot minute.
But we get a date, August 92. They're like, the guy said you bought it in August 92. And I'm like, keen memory for this dude. Yeah. Well, I guess he had his list. But yeah, I'm he had like,
probably like some sort of ledger.
Yeah. They're like, we need to know where it is now. And Paul's like, don't remember anything about that. And Zach is like, I know. And Paul is like sweating, really. He looks over at Zach and he's like, what? And Zach comes in clutch for his dad. He said, we threw it away when I was little. Remember, Dad? Paul is like, okay. And Zach is like, what's up with the chest anyway? And the cops are like, it washed up on Torch Lake. There was a woman in it. She was all chopped up. And Zach is like, OMG, Dad.
He's like, you didn't tell me it was a fucking dead woman in there.
Yeah. His eyes are wide. And Paul is like, we need to talk, boy. And Felicia is like across the street looking ominous with some like clippers in her hand. Mm-hmm. They get into a fight about it because Zach is once again like, Dad, you're lying to me. And I can't imagine like living with a dad like Paul ever. I think he says there's a man in the box.
Well, so Paul just didn't specify when he told Zach the story, which we still don't really know what the story is. But Zach said, like, you said it was a man. And Paul's like, no, I just said it was a person.
Yeah.
And you just assumed. And Zach's like, well, can you just fucking tell me the whole last truth? Yeah. Then? Like, Jesus Christ. So, like, Paul, like, kind of panics and, like, tells him more. But, again, we don't really get what
yeah,
it is.
Yeah, Zach is like, what is happening? And he's like, we couldn't let you be taken away, and we wouldn't. And he's like, so you chopped her up?
He's and like, can someone please help me understand?
I said, Deidre? Question mark? Is that who's in the motherfucking box? But we're going to see. Then I guess we can go into more of Zach storyline. It's pretty short.
Yeah, I was about to say, let's just kind of cover that while we're here.
He ends up hooking up with Felicia. This not hooking up like sexy, but like he just like hooks up with her and they hang.
She like invites him to help her with her groceries.
Zach is jamming the fuck out on his front porch. Acoustic guitar.
Pretty good guitar player.
Black Sabbath.
I was impressed.
Yeah, he's out there.
Yeah, he was going for it.
Felicia is coming home with some groceries and she's like, boy. And she interrupts his jam sesh and is like, help me out. And he's like, she says there's banana bread in it for you. And then next thing we see is eating the banana bread. And he's like, I guess I haven't been in here before. And Felicia's like, this is where good taste comes to die. I was like, okay, I hope nobody ever
says
that. She's
savage as fuck about Martha. And I love it. I'm like, damn.
I want to be that savage about everybody.
Yeah.
She's like, so I heard you were arguing with like your dad. What's up? He's like, we just have some problems sometimes. And she's like, I bet you miss your dead mother, right?
Yeah. Like, and she's like, she was a really nice person. And Zach's like, what?
Yeah. And so warm and loving. And he's like, you knew her? Yep, worked with her in Utah years ago. And Zach is like, what the fuck? And Felicia's like, it's true. And I'll tell you a secret. I met you when you were a baby. And he's like, what?
Yeah, she's like blowing his fucking mind right now.
Your mother loved you a lot, Zach. And he's like on the verge of tears. And everything I remember that the most. And obviously he starts bawling. And she says, you want to know what else? This is like spiraling so fast. I remember what your original name was, and his original name was Dana. And I was like, okay, so that's what happens with them. Where do you want to jump in? Are you feeling passionately about any of these storylines?
We can let's start with Susan. Cause she's kind of, I feel like we should do Susan and Gabby first because Lynette and Bree's storyline is so, or we could do theirs first.
We can do Susan first, because we meet Susan's mother, Sophie.
Who's played by Leslie Ann Warren. I don't know if you've seen Clue.
No, not the original.
She's like a classic, like, 80s, like, she was in a lot of 80s comedy stuff.
She's a cutie. She plays the part of Susan's mother very well.
I like to think that, like, Susan's, like, an evolved version of her, and then Julie's, like, the most evolved version.
Yeah.
Because they each had to, like, parent their mothers.
Oh, that's interesting. Wow.
Like, Susan's mom is just, like, a more frazzled, clumsy version of her.
Yeah.
And Susan, like, you could tell, I guess I'm diving in before that we really tell the story, but, like, you could tell that at one point, like, Susan's more mature when her mom's around, because she has to be.
Yeah.
And I think, like, Julie kind of has to do the same thing.
Yeah. But you see that the apple doesn't fall far from the tree here when you meet Sophie. And, yeah, this storyline's all about parenting your parents or your, you know, you turn into your mother,
yeah,
type thing, which I thought was interesting because we haven't done that before. I haven't seen a lot of shows do too much of that. So Julie's like walking across the kitchen. She looks out the window and she's like, oh my God, it's grandma. And there's like a car accident. Sophie hit Mike's truck and is all frazzled. And like Susan goes out there and Mike is like, Susan. He's like very excited. But it's Sophie Bremer is her name. And she's like, I have no depth perception. Like they shouldn't have, or I think Susan might have said this about her mom, like shouldn't have issued her a license. Yeah. And Sophie starts going off on Mike in a good way. And it's like, I've heard so much about you. It's so nice to meet you, Mike. And Susan is like, stop.
She's like, Mom, like, please.
And she's like, let me call the insurance company. And then Mike is smirking at her. Never would have guessed, like, you're Susan's mom. And he's like, I see where you got it from, Susan, at the end of it. He's like, because Susan's like, what are you smirking at? He's like, nothing.
He's like, everything makes a lot of sense.
Yeah. He's like, I used to have a lot of questions about how you came to be who you are. And they were all just answered. And I was like,
and her mom is like very like clearly loves the fact that she's pretty. We find out that she was like a teen pregnant, like she was a teen, yeah, pregnancy situation, which makes, again, kind of makes a lot of sense. Like, I feel like they did a great job writing her mom because it genuinely felt like we understand Susan a lot better now.
Yeah.
Just in those first moments.
Yeah. It made a lot of sense. I agree with Mike. There were no questions left. Yeah. I was like, I get it. So the next thing we see, they're making dinner together, Sophie and Susan, and they're catching up on the Mike drama. And mm-hmm. we cut him in and she's like, he did time for selling drugs and manslaughter. And Sophie's like, he has such good manners though. Don't worry. The right man will come around though. And then Susan's like, you and Morty were really my inspiration though. And Sophie is dead silent. And she's like, oh, I'm just tired because Susan's like, why are you so quiet all of a sudden? And then she reveals that she left Morty and says that he shoved me.
Yeah, and Susan doesn't really buy that that's like the whole story.
She's like, nah. And then her mom's pissed because she doesn't believe her. And she says, I confronted him about spending too much time at IHOP, or not IHOP, at his pancake, because he runs a pancake house, I guess.
Yeah.
And you should see the waitresses he hires, and like, he's cheating on me. Men have needs too. They're getting younger and younger and all this stuff. And she's like, well, you're getting older. And her mom like flips.
Yeah.
She's
like, no, her mom like loses it.
She's like, people think we're sisters. Yeah. And Susan's like, I'm just saying, I don't think he cheated on you. And then she's like, well, he did shove me and like throw a book, and like, you could at least be supportive. And Susan's like, come on. And she's like, never mind, he shouldn't have done that. And like, that's how I feel about my parents too. Yeah. I'm just like, you're right. Like, whatever they
like,
say.
Like, Susan, I feel like, has fought this battle too many times with her. So I feel like she's just kind of like, yeah, you're right. It's better to just like,
yeah,
let her have this, I guess.
So then when they're at a poker game, they talk about how they're going to go to the spa. We'll get into the poker game later, but next time we see these two together, Sophie and Susan, they're at the spa. And Sophie is like, this is so nice. And Susan was like, I was thinking maybe you should call Morty and start working things out. And she's like, why would I work things out with a man who abuses me?
Yeah, she like fucking acts so dramatic. She's like, you won't be happy until I have bruises.
Yes!
And Susan's like, oh my God. But Susan brings up, she's like, you don't like to work. Morty and you never got married, so he doesn't have to pay alimony.
Yeah, you don't have a house.
You don't have anywhere to live. Like, what the fuck is your plan? Like, yeah. What the fuck?
I mean, I get, okay, so this is the ultimate housewife, though. Doesn't work, doesn't want to work, doesn't have a house, is living off her husband.
Not even, but her boyfriend of, like, what, 5 years?
I don't know how long they, yeah, but it's a situation like this.
I guess, yeah, like, she's kind of, like, I'm not saying that she shouldn't leave if it actually is abusive, you know. And
yeah, she should. We're not, like, laughing at that. That's yeah. not what we're laughing. We're laughing because it's exaggerated, and you'll see in the end that she's not actually being abused, so.
She's fucking smacking the shit out of him,
she's
too.
She's beating him. But Sophie, when Susan asks, what are you going to do? Sophie's like, I'll come live with you. And Susan, like, breaks this chick's nose.
Yeah, no, Susan her kicks nails. The lady that's giving her a pedicure.
And Sophie is like, I thought you would be excited. It's just a few years. And I'm like, oh my God, I would lose my mind. It's clear that you don't want me here. She's being dramatic about that. And Susan's like worried about this lady that she just broke her nose. And so that's the whole scene.
Yeah.
And then Susan takes things in her own hands. She goes to the pancake house to talk to Morty. And Morty is so benevolent looking.
It's fucking, what's that actor's name?
I don't know who he was.
He's like the dad in Elf, like the Elf dad.
Oh.
But I can't remember. But he's like a very famous, he's like very famous.
Yeah, I don't know what his name is. Shit. But he looks so benevolent. And he's like, hey, Susie, what's up? And he's like, what's your mom doing outside? And she's like, she won't come in here until you apologize. And he's like, for what? She says, for shoving her. And he says, I only shoved her because she wouldn't stop hitting me. Yeah. And I'm like, ugh, I hate this.
I know. These old people.
Yeah. And Susan's like, why was she hitting you? And he's like, she threw a book at me too. So she switched it around. And I'm like, her mom is crazy. And
Bob Newhart, by the way.
Oh, Bob Newhart. Yeah. Okay. Bob looks really sweet. Yeah. He looks like the nicest little man ever. And Morty's just like, it was a paperback, at least, and like it missed. And he's like, she hit me square in the gut. It hurt. And Susan's just like, what is happening here? But she's also like, can you just go apologize so that she'll get
your mom off my hands, please?
And he says, I don't want her back. And Susan's like, ugh. And he says, I love her, but the pancake shack is taking off. We're opening another one. I don't have time for her hysterics. Like, I just don't have time for that right now. She's like, you have to go take her back because she wants to move in with me and I want to have a relationship again and I can't have her around. And I'm like, I feel her frustration deep down. And he says, weren't you dating a plumber? Everybody has to bring up Mike at every instance. She's like, it didn't work out. And if she moves up, she'll burn all my oxygen. You guys are good together when there's no violence. And he's like, we do have chemistry and the sex. And she's like, just go do it. Like,
she's like, please shut the fuck up.
So Susan sits there and has like a whole monologue about like how great a job like she's doing to like get them back together. They're going to talk it out and everything. And the waitress is like looking out the window and how the scene shot. You can see Susan doing her monologue. And then in the back, you can see Morty and Susan's mom like getting into a fight.
Like a physical fight.
Yeah. So at the end, I think Mary Alice Young has a little bit here that says nature's little joke is that children end up parenting your parents. And, like, Sophie's biting him.
Yeah, and we don't even really get closure on that because we don't know, like, what's going to happen now with her mom.
Yeah, not at all. So it was a cute storyline. Like, I understand being feeling just suffocated by your parents or, like, feeling like you turn into your parents. That's something I worry about every day. Not that my parents aren't great, but you just see little things that you do and you're like, oh my God. Like,
yeah. Stuff that you never thought you would do.
Yeah. So that's one of my bigger fears, but I'm trying my best not to. And then Gabby, do we want to do Gabby's next?
Yeah. Yeah.
So Gabby has some problems of her own, mostly to do with Carlos.
Yeah. So she, like, their story after the opening that we already talked about, like, she gets home and the hospital guy is like there talking to Carlos. And Carlos is like, what? Why didn't you tell me about this? And Gabby tries to like play off that she doesn't know what's going on, but
she's like, what, Jack? Yeah. And he's like, don't fuck with me.
So then they like, after the guy leaves, like literally the moment the door shuts, Carlos starts screaming.
Yeah.
And he's like, why the fuck, like, were you trying to hide this? Like, I can't trust you. And he's like, I could have used this money to like pay for lawyers. And Gabby's like, no, the government would have seized it. And he's like, well, we could have fought that too. And she's like, and then we would be more in debt. Like, what are you talking about? Like, he's not being rational.
Yeah, he's like, but I wouldn't have to go to jail. And she's like, you did slave labor.
She's like, you are guilty. Like, 8 months is nothing. And she's like, plus now we'll have $1.5 million fucking dollars to build our life back with.
I think Gabby is really the person of the most, making the most sense here.
Yeah.
So.
And so, yeah. So basically he gets quiet and she just walks away like, you know, like, huffing and puffing, like, I win.
When you calm down, you'll realize they did the right thing, and I would appreciate an apology then.
And then, like, as she's walking away, he, like, throws a vase against
the wall. Yeah! Oh, my God.
He, like, loses his mind. So then, like, the next scene with them, he, like, shows her this, like, new prenup, basically, so she can't have anything at all if she leaves him. And she's like, I'm not signing that.
Oh, it's a post-nuptial, because they had a prenup, so he's, like, adjusting it.
Yeah, he's, like, adjusting the prenup. And she reveals that those papers from episodes back that she was supposed to burn, she did not burn, and that not only did she not burn them, she read them, and she knows that he has, like, another secret bank account in the Cayman Islands. And she's like, you know, I know what these are, and I know that, like, basically she holds it over his head. And, oh, no, this is the scene where Carlos throws the vase. Yeah. So she walks away, and she's like, I know, baby, it hurts to lose. And then he slams the wall with the vase.
Yeah, because he says, basically, you sign this postnuptial, or you're only going to get 15% of our current savings, which is nothing.
Yeah.
So that was his threat. And then, like Jordan said, it's all the papers. She holds that over. So she wins this round.
Yeah.
Next thing, Gabby is running around in an atrocious sweatsuit that's like a crop top jacket.
With, again, a tank top under. Why wear a crop top if you're just going to wear the tank top? A crop
jacket, nonetheless. I hate that. She's running around, and she sees John. They're running on opposite sides of the street, and they both stop. And there's a moment of tension that I didn't feel icky about, actually. But they, like...
Now that he's age-appropriate. Yeah, not appropriate, but not...
He's not 16. Yeah. But they, like, wave and, like, mouth something to each other. John starts to cross the street, and then she's like, no. She mouths no. And then she, like, runs the other way. Mm-hmm. And John is left there, like, damn.
He's, like, so close, yet yeah. so far.
So... that happens, and then next thing we know, Carlos is just watching Gabby read a magazine. Very creepy, mm-hmm. very rear window, and he puts the paper of the papers in front of her again. And she says, "I'm not signing this." And he says, "If you don't, I will divorce you." And she's like, "Then I'll go to the police. Like, fuck off." He says, "What will you tell them?" And she's like, "He says there's a bank account in the Cayman Islands that no longer exists." And she's like, "You moved it. That's, like, super risky. What the fuck are you doing?" He's like, "I couldn't just let you fool, like, make a fool out of me." And she tries to run, and he grabs her little body and hurts her, is what I said.
Yeah, he hurts her. No, he's fucking... The fact that she had to run away from him.
She's crying and upset. And he's, like, he grabs her hand and, like, contorts it.
And he holds grabs her face. Her,
yeah, he fucks with her hard. It's, like, not... It's not a funny, like Susan, Sophie, like, where they're, like, hitting and biting each other. And it's, like, old people, like... being crazy. It's like, oh my god, like, this girl just, this it's is abuse. Yeah,
he basically tells her to fucking sign it,
so, and then he makes her sign it as he contorts her hand, which he could have just forged her signature at this point, I think. And he says, "I know, baby, it hurts to lose." And I'm like,
physically hurt?
It physically, like, it should physically her.
Hurt,
yeah, that's what you I'm like did. But he actually hurt her. And then Gabby goes over to John's and just walks in and kisses him with the confidence Danielle had a couple episodes ago.
John's just having to push him away at this point.
Yeah, and she's like, "Are your roommates here?" And he's like, "What's going on?" And she's like undressing, and John sees the bruises and is like, "What the fuck?" And she's like, "Carlos just got a little rough." And John is kind of hot here. He's like, "He hurt you."
He like loses it.
Yeah, and John grabs his jacket and is like, "Oh, hell no." And Gabby's like, "Don't." And she's, like, on the verge of tears. And she's like, we're not going to let him get away with this. She's like, "Just kiss me." And he's like, "That's not going to do anything." And she's like, "One day when the time is right, I'm going to tell him that he drove me right into your arms." And she said, "Tonight, do whatever you want, but don't call me beautiful." And John's like, "You got it."
He's like, "As long as I get to fuck you again."
Yeah, he's like, "Dreams do come true."
And so now the question is, she's going to be pregnant in a week. We have now seen her fuck two people.
Who is the baby daddy?
Who is the baby daddy gonna be?
Oh, yeah. So Mary Alice Young says at the end again, you know, a couple weeks, Gabby's life's gonna change. So
here we go.
I did enjoy this because I don't feel as icky about John now that he's 18.
I don't feel as icky about John anymore. They did a good job rehabilitating that storyline. I just, like, the whole Carlos, now it's like, okay, so Carlos is a fucking abuser. We already knew that, but now it's like, Jesus fucking Christ. Like,
yeah.
I forgot that he did that. That he
That's pretty fucked up. Yeah, you said you were a Carlos fan.
Most people are by the later seasons.
Okay.
Carlos has a lot of character development. Like, so much. You don't even know what you're in for with the Carlos and Gabby story.
I'm really ready. I feel like Gabby got the short end of the stick for a long time by fucking a 16-year-old. Mm-hmm. And then now he's age appropriate. He's defending her honor. And Carlos is going to jail for slave labor, which I didn't see coming. And it's like picking up.
It is. I think that's why, like, the scene, like, frustrated me so much. Because I'm like, damn, I do really like Carlos in the later scene. Like, most people, he's like the favorite husband.
I furrowed my eyebrows.
I know, yeah. I know, like, it sounds insane. But, like, if you get a consensus out there, like, that tends to be what people say. But they do, like, they do a good job, but I guess I forgot, like, how terrible he was in this first season. Like, I knew he was abusive, but, like, I forgot
that. And tampers with her birth control like a sociopath.
Well, yeah.
I don't know. And Carlos is not my number one right now. I don't hate him like I hate some other characters.
I do hate what this scene, though.
I hate that scene. That was, like, terrible to watch. But
I'm like, why do you want to stay married to her so bad?
I did say I made a note of this, and maybe they should just get divorced.
No, it's like, why are they even trying?
I don't know. I wonder that all the time about a lot of people. Like, what's going on here? But we can go to Lynette. Lynette has a different problem, and it's just to do with Lynette's ego, per usual.
I actually liked this plot, though.
I thought it brought up some interesting points. I think Lynette, she annoyed me more last episode, but I still found her annoying this episode.
I think she's unnecessarily nasty in this episode.
Yeah, she was savage. So basically, we get into a debate about spanking your children here. Lynette is desperate to have somebody babysit, so she begs Bree. Bree babysits and spanks one of them, and it's like the lightest spank ever. It literally, you see the spanking, and it's like, well, whatever.
And, like, the boys even say to Bree, Mom always threatens to spank us, but she doesn't do it. And she's like, well, I'm not your mother.
Yeah. So. I guess they didn't talk about it before Bree dropped the kids, or before Lynette dropped the kids off. But, like, I don't know. And then Lynette finds out that Bree spanked them and, like, loses it. And then talks shit about Andrew. Talks shit about Bree's parenting.
Well, because they're at poker, like, everybody, when it comes out.
Yeah. So.
And Bree's, like, normal. She's like, oh, I didn't know that you were, like, you didn't like that. Like, it won't happen again. Like, yeah, a normal
that
person.
Was a normal response.
And, yes, no, she should not have spanked. I think it's a kind of a general rule. You shouldn't touch someone else's kids. I think that's, like, okay. But Bree's also extremely conservative. Like, it sounds like her upbringing was probably like that. So I could see maybe where that got lost in translation.
Yeah.
But I feel like that's a thing where unless someone explicitly tells you, you can spank my kid if they act crazy, don't ever
you
spank.
Should never spank. Yeah, okay. Bree shouldn't have done that.
That, yeah, that was a big no-no.
But, yeah, I don't know how to
look, I'm not a parent,
yeah,
but I can tell
parents.
You right now, I would never, I'm not, I don't believe in that kind of stuff. I would never spank.
I don't know that spanking's a big deal, depending on how you do it.
I just feel like it's a slippery slope to, like, I think that's where a lot of, like, child abuse can start. Like, you spank your kid. Okay, the next time you get pissed, like, what if you slap your kid?
But do you think you wouldn't have that much control over yourself? I don't know. I got spanked.
I never have been spanked as a punishment. I got spanked once because I was hyperventilating.
Like, in bed. Like, I never got spanked as a punishment. No, I got spanked as a kid, but not all the time. And, like, my mom and I talk about it, like, I don't know, but we're Hispanic. My parents got the shit beat out of them. My mom did. Like, that was my grandpa's parenting style. That was, like, everybody's parenting style in the 60s.
That's why I think for Bree, like, I think this series hit at a time when people were moving away from that.
Yeah.
But some people weren't, so that's why I think it could get lost. Like, now, I think it would be, obviously, don't do that. But 20 years ago.
Yeah, I feel like a lot of people spank their kids, but, like, my mom only spanked me once, and it wasn't even, like, naked or anything. Like, they did what Bree did, where she's like, let me spank you, and, like, it's like a tap on the butt.
I got spanked once because I was crying so hard. Yeah. I started hyperventilating, so my mom spanked me to snap me out of it, and it worked. That's the only time I was ever spanked.
Yeah, but, like, you only do it once or twice. You don't, like, spank your kid every day for everything that they do, but, like, I do. I'm not, like, as opposed to spanking as some people, only because, like, I guess I grew up being spanked twice in my life, and it wasn't our primary form of punishment, and, like, I don't think there's anything wrong with it if you can control yourself.
I guess for me, like, I don't have a problem with people spanking their kids.
Yeah.
I just personally wouldn't do it, because for me, like, I don't want to associate, like, okay, if you misbehave, like, I'm going to hurt you.
Yeah.
I don't like that, the mind part of it.
I agree.
So I think that's where I maybe get iffy on it, but I'm not a parent, and that could change if I ever became a parent.
That's the thing. I'm not a parent. It's hard to say, because I see parents so frustrated with their lives. Rightfully so. Kids are atrocious.
Yeah.
And, like,
I think
you're,
like,
tired. You are talking to little humans that don't make any sense all the time. Like,
and if you have, like, that many of them, Like, if I were Brie, too, like, I'd feel overwhelmed a little bit. And I think, so in the scene after Brie says the good part, then she adds this, like, comment. And you're like, why would you fucking say that right now? She's like, well, everyone knows your kids are a little out of control. That's like, why would you do that?
A little bit of a jab, yeah.
Like, when you know that Lynette's clearly upset right now, like, that's clearly not the time to say something like that. Yeah. I don't know. I just found that to be, like, okay, Brie, like, you really want to do this? And, like, especially a weird thing to say when you just shift your kid off to boot camp. Like,
yeah.
Pot calling the kettle black there a little bit.
I think they're both, like
her son killed somebody.
I think they're just, yeah. Let's not forget, Brie covered of her son's hit and run.
Yeah, like, Brie, why would you have feel like you had any leg to stand on?
I don't know. I feel like they're both projecting on each other. Okay, Brie should never have spanked somebody else's kids. I think spank your kid or don't spank your kid. Agree with it or don't. Don't ever spank somebody else's kid.
And then don't turn around and call out that their kids are out of control when your kid is literally in a detention camp.
Literally got expelled 2 months before graduation.
Yeah. And spit on you.
And like
who's out of control here?
That's
Brie.
What Lynette says. She's like, oh yeah, because you're such a good parent. I'm glad that I could get advice from you.
Well, then someone says something like, she's not saying that it's your fault. And Lynette's like, the hell I am. She basically says, like, yes, it's your fault that Andrew's so fucked up.
Yeah, and then Brie just leaves. And that's what I would have done.
That was really
too.
Hurtful. I didn't like that.
That was super hurtful. It's like your friend saying like the purposeful thing to hurt you. She knew what she was doing.
Well, and that's why I'm like, Lynette got nasty there and she didn't have to, but she also was very upset.
She was upset.
And we'll talk more about her reaction later, but wait, were we talking about Brie or Lynette?
We're talking about Lynette. Okay, yeah. But Lynette goes to Tom before the, I don't know if it's before or after the burger game, but Lynette is screaming at Tom to back her up about the, oh, so it must be after the spanking because she's already found out.
Yeah.
And Tom is like, I agree, but it's not like she hurt them. And Lynette's like, that's not the point. You don't, like, spank other people's children, which is true. And Tom was like, but they were misbehaving, so she had to do something. And she's like, time out, or you threatened to spank. And Tom's like, because threatening works so well for us. And Lynette's like, what? Like, it does most of the time. And he's like, it used to work, but they, like, are getting older, and they figured it out. And she's like, and this is where Lynette comes in and says, my mom used to beat the shit, like, the hell out of my sisters and me, and I'm not going to become my mother. And, like, I think a lot of people of that generation felt that way.
I think like, people that were, like, beat as a child, they either aggressively go the other direction and say, I'm never going to lay a hand on my kid.
Yeah.
Or they kind of do a similar thing that their parents did and don't think anything of it.
Yeah.
Like, I turned out fine, you know what I mean? Like, yeah. that mentality. So I guess, like, knowing that history about Lynette, like, I think it does make sense. And I think, again, that's why you never touch another person's kids, because you don't know the mindset behind why they do what they do.
Yeah.
But I do like Tom in the scene, because I think he's, like, a voice of reason when she's being really unreasonable. But at the same time, validating her. Like, he's saying, like, no, I think we should be upset, but maybe not, like, that upset.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Tom, like, heard her, but he's also just, like, giving his opinion. Yeah. He's like, it's not a big deal.
He's like, hey, like, obviously I don't want anyone spanking our kids either, but, like, we have a bigger problem. We can't even leave our kids with someone without this happening.
Without them being terrors. But the next thing that happens, Lynette finds her kids are gathered around the toilet, and there's, like, a toothbrush in there, and she's like, oh, you guys threw a toothbrush in the toilet, and, like, they pushed each other and it ended up in there. And she's like, well, go brush your teeth now and I'll take care of it. And Preston, like, fucks with her and holds the toothbrush over the toilet after she tells him not to. And she's like, don't you do it. And, like, she hears how hollow her voice is. Mary Alice says how hollow her word is, because she says, if you do it, I'll spank you, like, is what she was going to say. And she doesn't finish. And then she's like, if you do this, I will. And she goes, walk you over to Brie's. And we all know what happens when Brie gets mad. And her kids are like,
yeah.
And it was actually, like, it was really cute.
It was cute.
And, like, there was just something about it, that moment. You're like, oh, my God. But then later in the yard, Lynette's outside and she sees Brie walking to get her mail, and it's, like, super awkward, and they just, like, look at each other. And then Lynette goes over and she's like, I wanted to apologize. And Brie stops her and she's like, just the fact that you crossed that street means the world to me, and if anyone should apologize, it's me. And then she's like, looks like Tom has under control, like, let's go get coffee and, like, bitch about our kids.
That's nice. Like,
friendship moment.
Which I liked that scene, because I think they both said things they shouldn't have said when they were kind of being aggressive with each other. And I think while Lynette got the last, like, really cutting dig, I don't know. I just liked how they handled that. It was good. I liked it. I liked the conclusion of that story. And then last but not least, we have Bree. So Bree, this episode kind of centered around visiting Andrew at his, I don't know what to call it.
Detention camp?
Like
a juvenile center?
Like a attitude camp? I don't know.
Did you guys ever go to one of these?
So basically she's making him a care package and she doesn't want to visit Andrew because like she just feels weird about the whole thing. And Rex is like, no, like you have to visit, like we have to be show that we support like the counseling. It's important that we all go and like do all this. And she's kind of still on the fence about it. She like builds him a really like a very brief care package, fills it with everything he could ever want.
Like sweets. And Rex is like, don't put sweets in there.
And he's like, he's not supposed to have
it
those.
It undercuts like, the boot camp experience. Yeah.
So then we already kind of talked about it, but Lynette drops her kids off with her and she watches them. The spanking happens. And then Lynette, when she tells her like basically that Andrew's fucked up because of her, like that kind of sends Bree into like a spiral this episode. Because she starts to really question, like, if it is her fault. So when they're getting ready to go see Andrew, she can't pick an outfit because she wanted to wear his favorite color. And she doesn't know his favorite color. And she has this whole spiel to Rex about how, like, she doesn't think she knows Andrew as well as she could have, which is probably why she couldn't help him. And she just doesn't think she's a good mother now, like, due to this.
I mean, epiphany. Okay, if you said some shit like that to me, I would be contemplating everything about my motherhood.
Yeah.
I would be exact same as Bree. I'd be like, maybe my best friend is right. Like,
maybe I do suck as a mom. So then, like, Rex is just like, well, you need to get dressed. So she's like, well, we're green. Everybody likes green. So they go to the camp, and they're waiting, and the counselor guy is like, hey, like, Andrew only wants to see Rex. And Rex, like, freaks out.
Yeah.
And he's like, no, like, we both came here. Like, we're both going in. And the counselor's like, well, he only wants to talk to you. So Rex is, like, ready to leave. And Bree's just like, no, like, you should go in. Like, you should talk to him. So she's, like, waiting outside. And she's, like, listening to these trashy-ass moms talk
they
about.
They are trashy.
Yeah. Talking about. One of them's played by Mac's mom on It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia, which if anybody watches that show, that puts the picture of what I'm talking about. But
they're like smoking cigarettes.
They're like smoking cigarettes and talking about like being drunk and fucked up all the time and how their kids like stole money from them. And
yeah.
It's like, but like clearly they're providing an unhealthy environment. So like,
yeah.
Bree like sits there and hears all this and she like busts into their counseling meeting and she goes, I know I'm not supposed to be in here, but I've been a good mother. Like, I've provided for you in every possible way that I could. And, like, your dad provided for you in every possible... Like, you've had the world. You've had...
Like, I'm a good mother, and I'm done feeling guilty.
Yeah.
If you want to piss your life away, go ahead.
And she's like, and if you want to blame me, like, fine. So then she leaves... Or before she leaves, Andrew's like, no, I think I might be gay.
Well, Rex... Oh, no, Rex... Well, Rex says, yeah. He's like, honey. He's like, Bree, Andrew just told me he thinks he might be gay. And then he wanted me to come in first because he thought that I could take it better. And Bree is like, I will be waiting in the car. And that's that. And I'm like, that was a quick transition. I thought we were going to have secret gay Andrew. Secretly great gay Andrew for a few more episodes.
No, we got angsty.
It comes out right away.
Well, he thinks he might be gay, which I think is funny that he says it that way.
Oh, so I'm like, is he going to try and date some chicks?
Who knows?
I'm excited. But yeah, basically Lynette and Bree are intertwined here. But
so yeah, the end of Bree's story is what we already said with Lynette.
Yeah, but I think, yeah, Bree was really shaken up by everything that Lynette said. And
yeah.
That makes total sense because, yeah, I'd be bothered too. But I think the spanking debate is like pretty interesting. And then just feeling like a bad mother and like everything that comes with it is interesting as well.
Mm-hmm.
So this was like up there for me. I really liked all these storylines about parenting and children. And I hate children.
Me too. Taught me a lot. So if I have a kid, I'm going to be basing it all on Desperate Housewives.
Yeah.
Everything I learned.
I'll never spank your child.
Yeah,
ever.
No.
But Mary Alice Young ends with a monologue. Children come into this world with their own agendas, some to brighten our days, some to test our patience, some to give us purpose, some to take care of us. Yes, when they come, children change everything, especially when they're not invited. And then we see Gabby. Because... She's gonna be pregnant as fuck.
She's gonna be having a baby.
Yeah. So lots to think about there. I think for my fuck, this might be controversial.
Oh no. I think I know what you're gonna say. What are you gonna say? Say it.
John.
I knew you were gonna say John. No. I mean, yeah.
I don't know.
He's like an innocent in all this. So yeah.
He like was so ready to like defend Gabby. It was hot to me.
Okay.
So
fair.
John. I'm gonna marry a classic Tom.
Okay.
Cause I think that he was very level headed about he is. Yeah, he's always level headed, but I think he made some good points and was able to talk reason into Lynette. And just like, I liked his like daddy parenting energy there. I'm like,
he's a daddy.
He's
for
a
sure.
partner. Yeah.
He's a handsome fella. Like,
he's a clean guy.
Yeah.
I'm going to kill Carlos. no questions asked. Yeah.
I don't think that's a surprise.
I have to explain it to you guys. Yeah. He literally like hurt his wife. So that's where I'm at.
So I'm going to be on the same level for two of them. So I'm going to kill Carlos as well. Cause he hurt her and the birth control thing. He's got two strikes against him.
Yeah,
I'm going to marry Tom as I like, just like last week. I just think Tom is just like a constant stable presence.
He's the only sane character. Yeah. We need a spinoff of Tom like so at work. It's, yeah. like, it's like a workplace comedy.
I know. The shenanigans he gets into at work. And then my fuck, I'm going to, man.
You have no one to fuck this episode.
I don't know. No one really. I mean, and this is gonna sound like, this is probably a stupid ass answer, but I'm probably gonna fuck Mike just because
he's like not even in. Oh, he's in it for 1 second.
I like him in the beginning of the episode because I just, when Mike kind of gets that smug smirk on his face, he is like, yeah, it all makes sense. I'm like, dang, and I miss Mike. Him. I want more. They teased us, and I thought we'd get more Mike in this episode.
Yeah, everybody brought him up enough.
I know.
They were like, Mike, right? About Mike. What about Mike?
You know that the actor, like, he's reading these scripts, seeing his name, but he's, like, not in any scenes. He's like, fuck. Yeah.
I'm like, do they pay him? Well, he's in the episode. He gets paid.
He's,
a
like, a
bit,
starring but... role, so I think he still gets paid.
Yeah.
So I guess maybe he likes it then when those episodes, he's like, I gotta be on set for one day this week. Easy.
That'd be so nice.
But, yeah, so that's my fuck, marry, kill. And then my housewife of the week.
You don't have one.
Oh, no. Do you have one?
No,
none of them were really
kind of average.
Nobody in this episode was like,
nobody was stellar. I mean, because like Bree spanked Lynette's kids, so you're a little bit like, okay,
and she was kind of a bitch about it.
And then Lynette was a bitch about her kids being spanked. And then Susan was whatever with her mother.
Susan was bland as fuck this episode. It's like
Gabby, like
she tried to play the game and she lost, so I can't give it to her.
To Gabby,
yeah, she tried to. Up like one up Carlos and she lost. So I'm sorry, I can't. If she had won, it'd be different.
We literally don't have a house, and I don't even have a hubby. Like maybe Tom.
I'm gonna give it to Tom. I guess by default.
Tom had one scene as well,
but he was great in it. Like you know what? Fine, fuck it. Tom gets it this week because everybody else disappointed me.
Yeah, well, they were that disappointing. Oh my god,
that's crazy. And then our Apple rating.
I think I have mine.
I'm okay. I'm nervous though. I hope. Okay, 3, 2, 1. 4.75.
What the fuck?
4.
Okay. 4. Okay, we just couldn't even find a housewife of the week.
That doesn't mean it was a bad episode.
It wasn't a bad episode.
If anything, I liked that. That means everyone was like, nobody was being bland
That's
as fuck.
True.
Like they were all kind of doing annoying ass shit.
Well, it's already on the record. It's a 4 for me because, like, yeah, I want. Okay. It wasn't up there with guilt for me.
Okay.
There was a cute friendship moment. Like, I think we gave the other episode with the friendship moment 4.75.
Yeah.
But, like, this one wasn't up there for me because it was just, like, so...
middle ground.
It was different from the other friendship moment. Like, Bree came through and gave Gabby money in a time of need. This was just, like, Lynette and Bree both being bitches to each other. Yeah. And reconciling after. I guess they both realized they were wrong.
I think for me, why I gave this episode such a high rating is because I liked that. I feel like each storyline was well-rounded. I feel like a lot happened, not a lot for Susan per se, but I did like meeting her. I think we got a lot of character development.
Yeah, I did like meeting the mom.
Cause we got a lot of like a better understanding of Susan. I liked the Brie Lynette storyline because I think it is very true to how we can be sometimes with, like, one of us makes a catty comment and it escalates.
Yeah.
And I think that was, like, a good representation of how that can happen, especially when you're talking about someone and, like, their role as a mother. Like, I think, like...
You're out for blood. Those are fighting words.
They were fighting words. And then when they make up, it was very real. It was very, like... They both felt guilty, and they both also deserved an apology. I think, like, at the end of the day, like, they handled that really well.
Yeah.
I don't know. I liked it, and I feel like we don't get a ton of, like, Brie and Lynette moments, so I like that it kind of paired them up this week. And then I liked the Gabby storyline. It got really dark at the end, but I liked it. I don't know. I thought it was a pretty fun episode.
You're like, I mean, a lot happened. Abuse, yeah.
And we got, like, a little bit of movement with the Paul Zach stuff, but it wasn't, like, the whole story.
Yeah, it was pretty tame, and I didn't mind that.
So I think I'll give it that. The only things that were missing for me...
Edie.
George.
And George.
Or Mike. Incel. Yeah. Our favorite little incel.
He just goes back to being an incel. We never see him again. Yeah. They're like, and he's still an incel.
Yeah.
Like,
but, yeah, I don't know.
So, I enjoyed it. Yeah, I did, even though I gave it a 4. Sorry, you guys. But I just think we could do better.
Okay. And that's fair.
But I did enjoy it. Yeah, we will. I'm excited. Like I said, I don't know what's to come. Mm-hmm. So you really teased a lot of good Andrew movement for me in the future. Yeah. So I'm sure there will be more 5s.
There will be.
I'm excited.
Oh, hell yeah.
Well, with all that said... You guys know, you know the drill.
You know the drill.
Just follow, like, subscribe, comment, message us. We're always...
Share us.
Yeah, share. We're always looking to see what you guys are thinking. Let us know what your Apple rating is, but we're here for it. And next Monday, we're dropping season 1, episode 19. So tune in for that. Mm-hmm.
Final stretch. Yeah. That'll be the first of the last 5 episodes. I know.
Oh my gosh.
Things are going to start wrapping up.
But yeah, we're so excited we can share this with you. So let us know what you're thinking. And other than that, know your neighbors.
Know your neighbors.